Yeah, you need an initial hole. I don't care if my pants get wet. Where's the lid?
Welcome in to Keep It About Ball, bitch.
Just a splash.
Shitbag lizard people.
My bro's QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, yeah, when you crunch numbers, who the fuck's Jennifer?
All right, and welcome in to Keep It About Ball on this Saturday night, the 13th of September. It has been a crazy week in both my personal life and the real world. Just, man, a lot going on for everybody, it feels like. So let's try and not think about that stuff and maybe get into some ball here. I'm just going to kind of go through my picks for the week. If you follow me on X, you will know that I did have the Packers on Thursday night. That did come to fruition as they beat the Commanders. Looked pretty good while doing it as well. Seems the Packers, though, are about as bad for fantasy wide receivers as my Patriots are, which is pretty crazy since the ghost of our aura stays bricked up for, like, the likes of Jalen Polk, who's thankfully off the roster, and then N'Keal Harry and dudes like that. Because God forbid you just have a dynamic, talented X receiver for like longer than one season or a season and a half. But that's here nor there. Green Bay does look really good, though. Real threat to play against the Eagles in the NFC Championship, I think. I don't know if I'm going to quite say to come out of the NFC, but definitely a good chance to meet them there in the game. Let's go ahead and get into the rest of the picks for the week. We will be throwing together the parlay, which I need to pull up FanDuel and get that ready so that we have it going. As we go here, the first game is the Giants at the Cowboys. I'm going the Cowboys, I think, pretty clearly there. You know, they looked pretty good let me type this in real quick. Get pulled up. So we can make the parlay as we go. But no, the Cowboys looked pretty good against the Eagles, honestly. Defense held Saquon under 4 yards a carry, shut down the outside receivers. Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown didn't do anything. If Jalen Hurts isn't Jalen Hurts and can do what he does on the ground, Philly probably doesn't win that game. Dallas Goedert had a nice game too, but he's not playing in this one. That's for the next game anyways. But, yeah, I'm going to the Cowboys here. It feels really comfortable. The -4.5 feels pretty comfortable too. And that is actually going to be the first leg of the Keep It About Ball parlay for the week. So we are going to go ahead and find Dallas -4.5 right there and lock that in and move on to the next game, which is the Seahawks at the Steelers. Got to go the Steelers. Might be close, but I can kind of see the Steelers running away with it if Aaron Rodgers really is, like, still Aaron Rodgers, and it was just a Jets thing, which is, I think we would all admit, probably totally possible. They could be pretty good this year if that's the case, and if they do look really good this week, I'm going to have to change my week-to-week expectations for them and what they do. It would be cool to see Seattle have a bounce-back week, but I don't really think that's going to happen. So, yeah, I'm going the Steelers there. No parts of the parlay on it. Rams at the Titans. Going Rams here. Again, this feels like another pretty easy game to pick. Part of me kind of wants to go Tennessee, but they just had 13 penalties for 131 yards in the first week, and they had 133 total yards of offense, only outgaining their penalties by 2 yards. That's not sustainable, especially against a coach like Sean McVay and a quarterback like Matt Stafford. Dudes have been around like that. It's just, there's no way it's going to work. And for Cam Ward, what a start to a career. First, he's got to play Sean McVay this week. And who did he play last week? Sean Payton in that fierce Broncos defense. That's rough. That's pretty rough for a rookie quarterback, I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, going the Rams here. And I am going to add the Rams money line, -255. That's what it was when I typed this up. Might have adjusted by now. It's still a 255. I'm going to add that there. The spread is -5.5. That just feels like a little bit much just because the Rams didn't exactly look like world beaters last week either. But money line feels like some pretty free money, though. So we're going to add that as the second leg there. Moving on to the Bills at the Jets. Initially I went with the Bills here like any other sane person would, but I'm going to take the Jets for an upset in this one. And, yeah, so the Bills needed a pretty special comeback and an out-of-character Derrick Henry fumble to win last week. If he doesn't fumble that ball and Josh Allen doesn't just ball out in the fourth quarter, which obviously he can do at any time. It's Josh Allen. But that was pretty special stuff, and that's not stuff you're going to really count on every week unless you're the Chiefs and you got the rest with you, but that's here nor there. It's like similar builds with the teams, too. Like, you got a guy in the secondary who's pretty good, Sauce Gardner, Kyle Hamilton there in Baltimore. You got some dudes in the front seven. It's a pretty decent defense. Running quarterback, good running back to go with it. One good receiver. It's actually pretty kind of crazy how similar they are at this point in time. Like, the Jets are just like a poor man's version of that. And I kind of think they can squeak one out. Oh, I had the number right here, I thought. Or maybe that was for the Ravens, not the Bills. But yeah, I'm going to go Jets with to cover the 6.5 spread, because the spread in this one is 6.5, and I think that's way too much. I am taking the Jets on the money line, I should say, for my pick for the week. But as for the parlay, I am taking the Jets to cover 6.5, just because that feels like way too much for how close it was for both teams last week. So we're going to go ahead and add the Jets plus 6.5, excuse me. But we are going with picking the Jets here to win the game for the week. Moving forward, Patriots at the Dolphins. This is probably going to be a gross game, I'm not going to lie. I've heard some people predicting like a low-key shootout, and I don't think so. I don't think either offenses are very good. I'll start with the Dolphins, and I guess their defense just isn't that great. And the offense is either like injured right now, or like they hate each other, and just like the vibes are way off there. And I don't think their offense is going to be very good, and I don't think they have a kind of defense that can step up and carry them to like win games and stuff like that. But like that said, I also don't think the Patriots offense is going to be very good. Did not like what Josh McDaniels was doing week one. Like, why is Drake May dropping back like 50 fucking times? That's retarded. Like, you just drafted this awesome running back. You've got a guy like Ramondre who can ground and pound and wear down a defense and run the ball, you know, 15 to 20 times a game. Why are we asking this like, dude who's played like 10 games, or like maybe 11 games now so far, I think it is, to throw 50 times with a recovering Stephon Diggs, who's 31, and Kayshawn Booty, who's low-key, like, gonna be, like, a wide receiver, too, in fantasy this year. He could be a real steal in drafts for people. But it's pretty crazy to think they looked at those weapons and this young quarterback who's still got, like, decision-making stuff to work on, and they were like, yeah, let's throw the ball 50 times. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I just always felt like Josh McDaniels kind of sucked without Tom Brady, in my opinion. And I don't really have anything to, like, base this off of, but, like, something feels off with Mike Vrabel and, like, the whole thing going on. I don't know. Something just doesn't feel right. Like, I don't really feel, like, that feeling of, like, and I haven't since, like, he's become the coach just, like, oh, things are really different now. We're really turning the franchise around now. Like, it just feels like it's kind of the same thing, but people respect us just a little hair more because it's not Gerard Mayo. It's Mike Vrabel instead. And I could be wrong. I don't know. Something just feels weird. But as for this game, though, I'm going Patriots here. Probably a little bit of homerism there. I'm seeing most people are picking the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are favored by 2.5. Got minus 130 on the money line for them, plus 110 for the Patriots. I just think it's gonna be a really ugly game. Actually, I think I'm not gonna add to the parlay, but I think what's the under on this game? 43.5. Yeah, that's pretty low. I would actually still consider taking that under. I would not be surprised if both of these teams don't hit 20 points at all. Because Jalen Waddle's banged up. Devon Achane still, maybe he's okay. I don't know, hamstring stuff. I never want to just act like, oh, he's fine, he's over it. And then Tyreek Hill and Tua, they obviously don't like each other. The O-line sucks. Patriots O-line sucks. And one thing that the Patriots defense can do well is get after the quarterback. They had the second best blitz rate I saw last week behind Denver. Denver, it was all charted out. Denver's like way over here. You know, Patriots are like a distant second, and then third and fourth are like a ways behind them. That was kind of encouraging to see. We'll see what happens when Gonzo gets back, but honestly, I hope they don't rush him because this already low-key maybe I'm just a pessimist, but it already kind of feels like the season's getting close to being lost, and like we may as well just kind of work for a top 10 pick and revamping the roster for next year because, yeah, I think I have my hopes too high. Anyways, next game, Jaguars at Bengals, taking the Bengals. As is tradition, you know, the Bengals started really slow. But I'm not buying too much into it because they were playing a really good defense in Cleveland. Like, that's a really good defense, especially to start the year before they give up on that horrible offense and get worn down from constantly having to carry the team, kind of like last year. That's a really good group. Like, they basically have brought most of the guys back, and then they drafted, I'm going to pull his name up because I'm going to draw a blank on it, that kid that they got paired up with Myles Garrett now. And it's just, gosh, what is his name? That's going to, of course it tells me fucking Shedeur Sanders first. Tells me everyone but that guy. Mason Graham. Yeah, Mason Graham, that's who it is, from Michigan, okay. Yeah, they got him paired up with Myles Garrett now. And that's crazy. That's madness. To think they just took that already good defense and, oh, we just added a top 10 pick to it to clog up the middle. Let's go. Like, that's going to be a tough D all year, so I'm not looking too much into that. Plus, the Bengals just, they like to start slow. And plus, the Jaguars D in this one, they got pretty lucky with, I was telling Brady last night too, what was definitely going to, I'm already like, an overhyped offense from the Panthers, and I was way too high on them, and I'm already bumping them down in where they're going to finish in that division and moving the Falcons up. I was being a Falcons hater, honestly. I'm not sure if that's still going or not. Yikes. Okay, cool, it is. They got that easy start, and the Panthers just aren't really going to be that good, because, like, really, especially, like, right now, like, what are you looking at? You're looking at Tet McMillan. He's nice, but that's a rookie. Chuba Hubbard's nice, but he's not, like, a superstar. And then Bryce Young's just, like, okay at best, and then the offensive line isn't anything to write home about, and the defense isn't particularly good either. I think it's kind of not a good sign that the Jaguars couldn't put up points on the Panthers. I think that's a pretty bad sign. Brian Thomas, like, one catch, like, got his only, I think he got a touchdown off a rush. That's, excuse me, as a Brian Thomas owner, absolutely hate to see that. And I didn't really see any, I'm going with the Bengals here just because, I didn't really see anything to discourage me from them that hard in week one. Honestly, their defense looked better than I would have guessed it to. I look, he kind of thought Joe Flacco might carve that defense up. But, and then the Jaguars just, they didn't give me any reason to buy into it, and the Bengals didn't give me any reason to stop believing in them, so I got to go to the Bengals here. 49ers at Saints is pretty easy, 49ers. You think, I know it's Mac Jones, another game that's maybe closer than you would have thought like a week ago, no Purdy, no Kittle. But even in its current state, I'll take the 49ers altogether. The Saints receivers, as of now, maybe a little better. C-Mac, I'll take over Kamara, although that's really close. And then you're kind of looking at, like, Mac Jones versus Spencer Rattler, and that's... That's crazy. I did not think we'd be talking about that. I guess Spencer Rattler. I guess it's not that crazy of a thought, but I think it's gonna be pretty easy for San Francisco to maybe confuse a guy like a rookie like Spencer Rattler and just pressure him. I think they can shut down Kamara, and I don't think their defense can really. I don't think they can stop Christian McCaffrey, and I think if he can have an okay day running the ball, then they're going to be able to establish play action. And Mac Jones showed last year with Brian Thomas, like, he can at least put some points on the board for what it's worth. It might not be pretty, but he kind of solidified himself as, like, a serviceable backup quarterback in this league last year, I feel like, anyways. And the jury's still out on Spencer Rattler. And there's just, as far as the defenses go, a lot more talent on the San Francisco side, in my opinion, and the coaching, obviously. I'm going to give San Francisco the nod there. What did I type in here? I'm not taking anything in this one. The spread is -3. Money lines are -166 and +140. I think the numbers kind of show you that, like, they think San Francisco is going to win the game decently. Like, 3 points is an okay spread. They don't think it's going to be, like, super close. But, like, the money line being really close like that with that spread, I think is kind of weird. Normally, when you see the money lines that close, I feel like it's more like a 1.5 point spread, maybe 2 points. But it's 3 on this one. So I feel like that's kind of the books, like, leaving some room for error. Like, you know, it is Mac Jones. 49ers do have a ton of injuries, and just, you never know. Like, the Saints might sneak one out. It's week 2. It's early in the year. Crazy shit happens, you know, this time of year. This is when that stuff happens. Moving on, though, Browns at Ravens. I'm going to say I had it typed up as my upset of the week. I must have forgot that I picked the Jets over the Bills when I was typing that, though. I guess I'm going with the upsets this week. I'm going to take the Browns here in this one. You know, like, I was just kind of getting to with them against Cincinnati. Their defense is really good. That's a talented and really good offense that they shut down week 1 and barely lost to. And I feel like they can kind of do enough to not stop Derrick Henry, but keep, you know, like, 4 yards a carry instead of, you know, like, 8 or 9, and at least keep Lamar Jackson, like, from killing them. You know, Lamar's going to do Lamar things, but just contain him from, I think they can contain those guys from, like, controlling the game and dictating everything, and kind of maybe make Lamar have to throw, which he can beat you if you make him throw, but he's not always really guaranteed to. And they just gave up 42, had that big collapse. And, oh, and this was the stat I was thinking of when I was talking about the Bills game. Cleveland just ran 70 plays against Cincy. Hold up. I think that was supposed to be 0-0. I typed that wrong and read that wrong. My bad. The Ravens defense just had, like, 70 plays ran on them, 70-plus plays ran on them by Buffalo. So I feel like they could be a little worn down. Yeah, just, I feel like it's kind of a good storm for an upset right here. I am going with the Browns for my pick for the week as far as adding to the parlay, which I might have missed a leg or two. We do, the spread here is 11.5, and to me that's just way too much. So I am going to add the 11.5 onto the parlay. Let's go ahead and do that real quickly and make sure I did not miss anything else. Got Cleveland. Okay, no, I did not miss anything. Sweet. Cool. All right, next up we got the Broncos at the Colts. I am going the Broncos here. I'm not buying into the Daniel Jones experience, although he did look like the general out there the last week. I just feel like even if Nix is headed into a sophomore slump, like, they've got enough people on that offense, good enough coaching, fuck Sean Payton, and that defense is just too good. I can't for the life of me see Daniel Jones having any kind of success against that Denver defense. Who was it last week they carved up, that he carved up? Let me pull that up again. The Dolphins, that's right. Yeah, and I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into that. Broncos by a lot here. I did not have them on the spread here at -2.5 here into the parlay, but I'm taking that. Or whichever one's juicier, the money line or the spread, we shall see. 102. Yeah, 102 for a 2.5-point spread. I don't care if it's in Indy. I think Denver cooks them pretty easily here. Moving forward, Panthers at the Cardinals. I already feel like a fool for, like I said earlier, for picking the Panthers to finish second in the division. Atlanta is clearly more talented. I was just being a hater. And Carolina just does not have the guys. I already got in all my stuff I had typed up here. Going Cardinals, adding them to the money line, matter of fact, at -320. I think they get it done without much drama at all. Next up is Eagles at the Chiefs. Going the Eagles here. Weird numbers looking at it. I feel like Chiefs -102, and then Philly -116, but Philly's favorite on the spread 1.5, so that's a little weird. Feels like a trap game for the books trying to get people to bet on Kansas City, if I had to guess. Philly, I feel like, is clearly the answer here. Kansas City's even more banged up than they were last year when they played Philly. Philly is still just as good. The defense, not quite as good, but Kansas City's lost enough guys on offense. I'm not worried about that. And, I mean, they just, the Eagles just kind of, I don't think Dallas's defense is going to be terrible. They got some guys in the secondary, and a lot of people have been saying bad stuff about their defense since Mike Parsons left. I get it. We all hate Jerry Jones. That's fair. But I didn't think the defense looked bad watching that game. I thought they looked all right, especially against a really good offense. So against the Cowboys offense, I should say. Going Philly with the 1.5 on the spread here. I just don't see Kansas City winning that game. Plus, I do have them losing the division this year, so it only makes. Are you still up? Okay, that's Richard trying to take some money. Okay, next up we got the Falcons at the Vikings. Going the Vikings here. I'm sure I'm an idiot who doesn't know ball for saying this, but I would like to see another game or two out of McCarthy before I hop on the franchise QB bandwagon. He did finish really strong, but the first half of that game was really bad, too. I want to see another game or two before we start busting nuts all over about J.J. McCarthy, whatever. I don't know. I think it's a little premature. Still going Minnesota here. They just got the better weapons. And honestly, I don't like Michael Penix any more than I like J.J. McCarthy right now. And I'd probably go with J.J. McCarthy over Michael Penix and all of J.J. McCarthy's weapons and his coach and his defense. Another game. A lot of these games feel like really obvious to me, which maybe is going to come back and really slap me in the face later and make me look like an idiot. But a lot of these games just feel like kind of predictable. Like, I feel like Minnesota should really like kind of handle these guys. Even if JJ just plays like somewhere in the middle of like where he was from the start to the end of like the last game, if he just plays like somewhere in the middle of like that, you know, I think the Vikings get it done probably by, like, a touchdown, maybe 10 points. Honestly, 3.5 points is a decent spread. Vegas obviously isn't going to be as crazy about it as me. But I am actually adding Minnesota to the parlay here at -184 on the money line. So let's go ahead and get that right there. Scroll too far because that says Vikings versus the Bengals, and that's next week. All right. Next up, we got the Buccaneers at the Texans. I think most people will take the Bucs here, but the Texans fell just short of what I think was kind of like a better version of like a pretty similar team here with the Buccaneers. Talking about the Rams and the Buccaneers being kind of similar. You know, like good running back, veteran, you know, good QB, couple of good receivers on the outside. And then you know, the defense is like, you're like, okay, it's not elite, but it's good. It's just, I feel like pretty similar teams. Not a lot going on at tight end for either team, either. Nothing super special going on there. And I feel like the Rams are just a hair better all around than the Buccaneers. So I think the Texans can get it done here against the Bucs. Spread here was 2.5, -138 for Houston, and +118 for Tampa Bay. So I do feel a little better knowing the books are on my side there. But this certainly is not my most comfortable pick of the week, just because the Buccaneers are good and could very easily win that. But definitely got to lean with the Texans there. Their defense is still really good. And was listening to, I think it was Jacob Gibbs, talk about it today. And after he, you know, charts all the film and stuff and everything and talking about it, and like all the things that were going wrong, I guess, with the Texans, obviously I'm kind of paraphrasing here. It wasn't really, as usual, you know, like, CJ Stroud's fault. It was crappy O-line, you know, they got dick and balls for running back, and just, it just didn't have a good game. And I wasn't too worried about it, and it was pretty nice to hear someone as smart as like Jacob Gibbs saying something like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's the offensive line, not like everybody else on the team, besides maybe like the running backs. Moving on I think it is the Sunday night game. Or no, excuse me, this is the Monday night game. That was the Sunday night game. The Monday night game, the Chargers at the Raiders. Feels pretty easy. Another game feels pretty easy. Maybe too easy. Something tells me Las Vegas goes in there and maybe sneaks. Or not goes in there. I guess they're at home. They maybe sneak one out. But I'm still going with the Chargers. Chargers offense is not the Patriots offense. They have like actual like good receivers. And, like, I like Drake May, and I do think he's the future for us. But, like, as of right now, he's not Justin Herbert. their offensive line's a lot better than ours. Defense, better than ours. Coach, I gotta say it right now, probably better than ours. So I don't think the Raiders go in there and sneak out a win. Like, I kind of feel like they did against the Patriots, who were missing not just the best player on the defense, but like literally the best player on the roster in Christian Gonzalez. If he's in that game and locking down Jacoby, I think that changes things a little bit. At least keeps that game maybe like 3 points instead of a touchdown. But yeah, the Chargers just a lot better than the Patriots are, and I'm not buying a lot of stock into what the Raiders did against the Patriots just because I'm selling all my Patriots stock after that. I do think the over on the 46.5 is a little tempting here, because if Geno could get something cooking and maybe Ashton Jeanty gets going in this one a little bit, Brock Bowers is pretty hard to stop. Jacoby Myers isn't bad. I could see some points getting scored in this one. I'm not adding that to the parlay. I'm just going to take the Chargers here. Not into the parlay, just picking them for the week. All right, so let's chart that up. And that was all the games. So let's make sure we got, that's 8 legs. Make sure that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And 8. Yep, 8 legs. That's +7,000. A lot higher odds than last week. Last week was also 8 legs, which, by the way, I forgot to mention at the top of the show. Our picks did do really well last week. We, as a group, we're 32-16 as a podcast. Brady led the way 13-3. Reed was 10-6, and I was 9-7. Our ZBR parlay, probably our strongest parlay to date, was 8 legs, and the only one that missed was the Ravens money line. We were that close. If that doesn't hit, we hit the plus like 3,600 odds, but hey, you know what? We're about to hit this plus 7,000 odds one tonight or tomorrow. But this one we're going to place it tonight. Let's see if we got a little profit boost on here. Maybe throw that on there. Yes, sir. I'll take that. Add a little boost. There we go. Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's see if we can slap that bad boy on there. 50% profit boost. Wow. Okay. I don't know how it goes from 50% odds from 7,000 is 10,000 and not 14,000, but I'm also not a math nerd, so maybe I'm just retarded, but maybe casinos are also scamming us too. Anyways, so yeah, add that little profit boost on there. You know, that's $10 $10 to win $1,000. Man, come on, let's roll with it. Let's do it. You'll be glad you did. You heard it here first. This is not gambling advice, but you should still do it. You should still do it. All right, we got that locked in and loaded. Let's get it cashed, and let's pick a card to wrap up the show. Who we got? Oh, I'm dropping him. Sorry, bud. All right, we got Eric Murdoch of the Utah Jazz. All right, let's look him up here and get his name. Well, you guys get a look at that. Let's get a look at the backside there. Oh, okay. Let's look up Mr. Eric Murdoch and type it in Google, and then we'll look at his card and read it off here. Not Eric Murdoch, that would be racist, bro. Come on, I need Murdoch here. Let's go. All right. Okay, so let's look at his card before we do it. It looks like. All right, so this card came out in 92, and he was a rookie. So he averaged in that year, he played 50 games, shot about 42% from the field, 75% from free throw, 54 rebounds, 92 assists, 30 steals, 7 blocks, 203 total points, averaged 4 points a game. And down here it says about him, Murdoch was a part of the postseason deal.
What?
They brought Blue Edwards to Milwaukee and sent Jay Humphries and Larry Christkowiak, that's definitely a 90s center's name, to the Utah Jazz. A thrilling collegiate player while at Providence, Murdoch finished his collegiate career as the NCAA's all-time leader in steals with 376. Put some respect on Eric Murdoch's name. I highly doubt that record still stands just because, well, actually, you know, is that... That's all time? Actually, it probably does, because nobody plays 4 years anymore. So he might. We're going to look that up on a separate tab here. NCAA B all-time steals leader. I'm a little curious on this one. All right, so the record holder now is in Division I anyways. Jacob Gilliard of Richmond with 466 steals. Number two is Chipper Harris of North Carolina AT&T with 450 steals. John Linehan of Providence, 385 steals. And then our guy, Eric Murdoch, right here in fourth place all time now at 376. Also a Providence product, so... A lot of thieves there in Providence. I think it's really funny the top four schools in that are Providence, Richmond, and North Carolina AT&T. Oh, man, I love it. And actually, that does remind me, North Carolina AT&T, that come probably like basketball season, I would say here in another week or two. I know it's not quite basketball season. And I'm going to try to get back into the daily scores game on here and try and get that published in the morning and out by like 6 a.m. so that You know, you can listen to it, get your scores and everything from the night before. You don't got to listen to the bullshit on ESPN telling you, oh, well, guess who stopped in the house? It's this fucking woke retard was in here to watch this game. We're not going to tell you about the score of this game. We're not going to talk about this game because we're too busy dick riding someone else. And it doesn't, you don't fucking care about. You've already sick about hearing them for years and I'm ranting. Anyways, it'll just be the scores and it'll be me ranting instead of ESPN, which... for better or for worse, that's what's gonna happen. For better or for worse. So I'll wrap it up there. I kind of want to chill out for the rest of the night and finish my burrito. Please make sure hit subscribe. If you're on Twitter, follow me at Zach Got That Dog. Follow the show at Keep It About Ball. Hit the like and subscribe buttons on all the podcasts, YouTube stuff. Help your boy make a few cents. Maybe feel a little bit of self-validation. Yeah, man, you know, the season's already ticking away, gang. So, like, enjoy it while it lasts because we're already about to be down 2 weeks and down to, like, 15 regular season weeks. That's not a lot. So make sure your lineup's set. And until next time, keep it about ball.
Shitbag lizard people.
Yeah, bro, QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, when you crunch numbers...
Who the fuck's Jennifer?